Well, we want to welcome you to Austin Chinese Church. My name is Gaylord. I'm one of the pastors here. And this weekend, Friday night and Saturday night, we've been having a missions conference. And for those who have not been able to come or were not able to set aside the time to go to these services, I just want to have a brief introduction. Pastor Wayne Chen, he right now is in Taipei, Taiwan. So obviously he's not here to speak for us, but he took the time to record several messages for us. We've been really blessed. Just a little bit about him. He pastored in Northern California for a few years, and then in 2007, he and his wife, and they have two daughters, Abigail and Michaela, I think they call her Kayla, they joined New Tribes Mission with the desire to go to an unreached people group. We call them UPGs, unreached people group, a place that has never heard about Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 2009, they moved to Papua New Guinea. And specifically, they moved to a little island that had a tribal group of people called the Biem people, B-I-E-M. And they spent 9 years there where they learned the language. They were able to develop an alphabet, a written form of the language. And then finally, they were able to use the language enough to share the gospel. He showed us a video of the first time they shared the gospel. They used drama to illustrate what Jesus Christ did in dying for our sins and resurrecting and giving them the offer for eternal life and forgiveness. And so they also started writing the Bible or translating the Bible. And so right now they're working on the New Testament part of it. And so God is still doing great things. The beautiful thing is they were able to plant a church there and not have the missionaries be the pastors. They trained people there, and he shared stories that now some of the elders of that church were some of the same ones that caused so much problems at the beginning. Now, 9 years later, 9+ years later, that there is a healthy, indigenously led church there off of island in Papua New Guinea. So our speaker has had a lot of experience. Right now, he serves as the director of Radius Asia. Radius Asia is part of Radius International, and this is a missionary training organization. So when people say, I want to go on a mission field, but before they join with a mission organization, there's this gap. And this organization says, we want to step into that gap. They do 10 months of training, helping people to understand culture and about language, spiritually to grow. They actually do their training in Americas. They train in Tijuana, Mexico. You go for 10 months, you go with your family, you go there, and you train, and then you join a mission organization, and then you're sent out. And they've seen great things as God used them. So Pastor Wayne is actually the director of Radius Asia. So he's based in Taipei, and they just had their first class graduate, and so they just started their next class. So we're excited to hear from him. And so let me have a word of prayer for him, and then we'll go right to his video. So please bow your heads together with me. Again, Father, we come to you now and ask that you will lead and work and powerfully through your messenger. God, we thank you for the privilege to participate in missions. And God, we get distracted. Some of us maybe feel like it's not that important. Some of us are discouraged maybe because we don't see fruit. And God, I just pray that you will use this message to wherever we might be, that we will be reinforced and also rejuvenated to realize that this is why we're here, is to do missions, is to be your mouthpiece and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ so that every man, woman, and child can hear the gospel at least one time. So God, we pray that you'll use us, work in our hearts, Lord, and we invite your Holy Spirit to come in, and we pray this in your name. Amen.
It's a privilege to be with you guys this weekend for Missions Conference. I wish I was there in person to shake some hands and simply to have the time to chat. I wish I was there in person to know what God is doing at ACC in your neighborhood, in your city, and in the community. I wish I was there to just have private conversations with some of you guys and find out, have you guys tell me stories on what God is doing in your lives. I think for me, that is the biggest loss for this weekend, not being able to do that. But at the same time, I trust that this format will not rob us of what God has in store for us or what he wanted to lay on our hearts this weekend. The theme for this week is Be His Beautiful Feet. Be His Beautiful Feet. And the text is taken from Romans 10, a very familiar passage for us. In Romans 10, the Apostle Paul writes, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Be his beautiful feet. Be Jesus' beautiful feet. Be the gospel's beautiful feet. This is what the Lord has challenged us this weekend. How do we be his feet to take the gospel to the nations? At the same time, if we were to look at our current circumstances, you may be feeling like, why are we talking about missions this Sunday? Don't we want to cancel the year 2020 completely? This is not a particularly good time because we have so many other worries on our hearts. The pandemic is still happening. Our jobs, education, schools, our lives have been interrupted. There are many, many other pressing issues than missions today. We're all still waiting for a cure or a vaccine. We're still waiting to gather back together physically in church so that we could worship together. And you might be wondering, out of so many topics, why are we talking about missions? Is it because we simply have to schedule a missions conference in October? Aren't there more pressing issues to solve first? The church attendance may be down, giving may be down, participation may be down. Don't we want to get back to normal first? And it's very easy for us to conclude in days like today that our primary job or our primary goal is to go back, to get back somehow the pre-virus, the pre-pandemic days. Let's just get everything back to normal, that everything at church runs smoothly as before, and then we will talk about missions. Paul said, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news." And if you think about the historical feet that we have in the Bible, if we think about Paul's feet, if we think about Barnabas's and Silas's feet, if we think about the early apostles and their footsteps and their footprints, out of Jerusalem radiated the gospel to the nations in very difficult circumstances. Persecution and hardship happened in Jerusalem, yet still the apostles went out in obedience to Jesus' command and took the gospel to the nations, and that's why their feet were beautiful. I don't know if you remember a picture like this from the early days of the pandemic. Sometimes it's just graphic, other times it's a video, animated video. You know, back in March and April, our eyes were fixed on our TV or our cell phones looking at pictures like this. The virus seems to be spreading everywhere, and we were paying close attention to where was it happening next. Oh, this country's blowing up, or it's moving from this location to next. And as I look at a picture like this, I can't help but start wondering, when are we ever going to see the gospel spreading like this? Wouldn't it be glorious to see a picture like this where the gospel is moving from one location to another, where in this country and to the next location, we have gospel Bible churches popping up everywhere? And I believe that's exactly what is on God's heart, to see the gospel reach the nations. In Revelation 7, we see a great worship being described in God's word. This is what the Bible says. "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" In this passage, we see an awesome worship in the last days with a huge crowd gathering to worship Jesus. And it's not just a crowd in terms of numbers, but a specific crowd gathered from every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language group. And please do not miss the makeup of this crowd. In order to give Jesus the praise that is due him, it's not just a bunch of people, it's not just a lot of people, it's people from every nation, every tribe, every language, every people group. The Bible specifically mentioned this. Out of every possible language, out of everybody in the world with different backgrounds, different skin colors, different races, different cultures, gathering before the Lamb and giving him the glory that is due. God's glory is so big that a big number won't do it. God's glory is so weighty that it requires every people, every language to bow down before him and worship him. Yes, it would be awesome for ACC to get back into physical worship. I think it will be a moving and emotional day when we could all get back in the church sanctuary and sitting next to each other and sing praises to our God. That would be a special day. But you know what? That day, the gathering at ACC will not be enough for God's ultimate glory. Even if all the churches in America are back to normal worship today, that still would not be enough for God's ultimate glory. What the Bible says here is God is trying to tell us that I am so big that I deserve praises from everybody, every people group, every languages in the world. God's heart is for all these language, all these people groups to bow down before their Savior King and give him the worship that is due him. Is this Sunday a good Sunday to talk about missions? If we look back to the history of gospel expansion in church history, we will know that the expansion of the gospel has never happened in a season of peace, of tranquility, of everything's going normal. Not at all. The gospel expansion always happened in time of uncertainty, of time of hardship, of time of restrictions. The goal for every church is to be Jesus' feet and take the gospel to the nations. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 10, unless someone goes and preach the gospel to them, how can they hear? And unless they hear, how can they believe? There are over 3,000 language groups in the world who don't right now have any gospel exposure in their languages. They may not even have a Bible available. They can't find out who their Creator King is, even if they wanted to, unless somebody goes and bring them the good news. And this is precisely what missions is about. Bring the gospel to those who don't have the opportunity to hear. Our family went to the country of Papua New Guinea in 2009 and started working with an unreached people group. The people group that we work with live in a very remote area. They live on this island that's about 80 miles offshore. You can see from this picture that these are the houses that the missionaries built right in the middle of the jungle. This is a picture taken the second day after we got to the island. We did not even have a house yet. We were living in our coworker's house. The villagers held a welcoming party for us to introduce us to the community. In the picture, you can see that my wife and I, we were flashing big smiles. Well, that was because I knew my coworker was taking a picture of us. You know what? Honestly, deep inside, I was scared. A first grader going to school on the first day. I did not know a single word that they were saying. I did not know their language. On this day, there was not a single Bible verse available in their language. But we started living with them, getting to know them, building relationships, learning their culture, learning their language. We told the people that we were willing to do four things. Number one, we were willing to learn their language. No outsider has ever learned their language. So we started learning from scratch. It took us 3 years to finish language study. And then we told them that we would teach them how to read and write their own language. Our people, they have a complete language, but their language did not have written words. So our team, having learned the language, we had to come up with a spelling system, or basically we had to come up with a written form of their language so that we could teach it back to them for the purpose of one day, we told them, we will translate God's word into their language. Thankfully, our team will be done with the New Testament translation by the end of this year, and hopefully we'll put the Bible in their hands pretty soon after that. But there was one more thing. We told them that we will teach them, if they're willing to listen, we will teach them, whoever is interested, what God says in His book. I have a video here. You guys saw some videos in the last 2 days, but this is a video kind of captures not only the early days, but the later days where the church grew and became mature. So let me just play this video for you. This is a picture that I took from the last time I went back last year. I tried to go back every year, but obviously this because of the pandemic this year, I wasn't able to go back. But as soon as the travel bans are lifted, I will go back and visit them. Our team actually left the island back in 2017. We left not because we wanted to leave. We left because the church was mature. I hope that you caught at the end of the video, you know, in the early days, it was the missionaries that did the teaching. It was the missionaries that played Abraham and Isaac. It was the missionaries who baptized the tribal believers. But at the end, it was the tribal believers stepping up, taking over the teaching responsibility. They were the one doing the shepherding. I baptized the first generation believers on the island, but my two daughters were baptized by a local believer with me standing next to them. The church is functioning well. The church is mature. A church that needs missionaries forever is not a healthy church. We have five elders working in unity. The church is not without issues. They're not a perfect church, but they are firmly standing on the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is now a church in the South Pacific with the faith, with the same faith in Jesus Christ like you guys. On that very last day, in the awesome worship where everybody will gather, the BM language, the BM believers, the BM church will be represented. Most of you guys likely will never see these believers on this side of heaven. But you bet when in heaven, you will be able to fellowship with them and ask them how they became believers, how they heard the gospel, and just how this new life changed them forever. Now, let's come back to the scriptures a little bit. Let's come back to the ministry of Jesus. Jesus lived for about 30 years and then he taught. He started his active ministry for 3 years. And if we think about those 3 years prior to the cross, Jesus taught a lot of things, didn't he? Jesus taught us how to forgive debts. Jesus taught us how to pray. Jesus taught us many things in everyday lives. And Jesus also used parables to teach. And when the disciples did not understand the parable, Jesus offer explanations. I mean, what I'm trying to say is before the resurrection, before the cross and the resurrection, Jesus taught a lot of things. But if we pay close attention, after the cross, after the resurrection, Jesus only taught one thing. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, this is very familiar to us. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the Great Commission that we're all very familiar with. If we look at the very end of the Great Commission, we see a great promise, don't we? Jesus says, "Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Jesus' presence with us, this huge promise saying to us, "I will be with you guys from now until forevermore." Now, we love this. We love this concept. We love this idea. We love this promise. We love this reality that Jesus is with us forever. We write these, you know, we write these words into worship songs. We use it in our prayer. Jesus, be with me today. This is a great promise that we love, that we hold on to. But let's not forget that before the promise, there was a command. There was a command. These two things are tied together. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. The promise is connected to the command. I will be with you, but go and make disciples of all nations. Go and be my beautiful feet. Go and take the gospel to those who don't have a chance to hear. So there is the promise and there is the command. But in the very beginning of the Great Commission, there is the declaration of authority. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This does not sound like somebody who is merely giving a suggestion. Jesus said this to remind us that, hey, don't forget who I am and don't forget who you are. I have control over your entire life and I am giving commands now. Go and take this, take my story, take what I accomplished on the cross to the nations. So if we want this promise of Jesus' presence with us, we have to also take the command and the declaration of authority seriously. Yes, Jesus will be with us always, but there is that commandment to go, and there's that authority. This is not open for discussion. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said this before the ascension, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. These were Jesus' last words, and last words carry special meaning, don't they? If somehow you found out that your life will end tomorrow at 6 o'clock p.m., somehow you just knew. You knew that tomorrow in the afternoon, 6 p.m., your life would be over. I bet that you will start thinking about at 5:59, who do you want to have surrounding you? Who will you say? What will you say to your loved ones? You will likely write out or think ahead about your very last words. If you knew that your life would end tomorrow at 6 o'clock, at 5:59, you're not going to go tell your kids, hey, why don't you go to McDonald's and get me Happy Meal number 5 or take out the trash tonight. You're not going to say anything like that. You are going to reserve your last words to something that's of the utmost importance to you. And this is what Jesus said, basically in line with the Great Commission. You will be my witnesses in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There's a lot of different understanding, or there's a lot of different take on the work of the Holy Spirit. But if we look at Jesus' very last words, we could see that the primary function of the Holy Spirit is not to give us a warm, fuzzy feeling in our hearts. It's not to just help us to pray more freely. It's not to help us to sing better, even though the Holy Spirit does do all that. But based on Jesus' words here, the primary function of the Holy Spirit is when we receive power, we will finish what Jesus had commanded us to do. Take the gospel to the nations. When we decided to go to Papua New Guinea in 2007, we had a lot of, doubt from the people around us. People in the church family, people within our own family tree. A lot of people did not understand our decision. Some of them did not say it, but I could see it in their eyes. They were questioning, why do you need to go so far? Why do you need to take your kids to those places? I actually had one close family member telling me directly to my face that you have no right to take your kids to a place like that. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy to face all these questionings and all these doubts. But if we were to examine the core of our Christian faith, if we take away the forms, the history, all the other things on the outer layer, and start peeling like an onion to find out what is at the very core of our Christian belief. you will find at the very core is a loving Father who did not keep His precious and only Son with Him in heaven to Himself. Instead, He gave His only Son for you and for me. He nailed Him to the cross so that we could be reconciled to our Savior King. That is at the very center core of our faith, a sacrificial Father who gave us His only Son. And because of that, I cannot tell God that, hey, God, I'm willing to do this and that and all these things for you. But as long as it affects my plan for my kids, as long as it's not safe for my kids, then I won't do it. I can't tell my God that, because our God at the very core is a God who gave me His only Son. It wasn't easy facing all those questions and doubts, but our safety, our well-being, our own plans and dreams should not come and stop us from obeying the Great Commission. A lot of times when it comes to missions, we say, well, there are three things that you could do. You could either give, you could either pray, or you could either go. But I think for Asian American churches or for Chinese churches, that's frankly not enough. Now, I'm sure when you saw our video, ministry video, you were pretty touched. It's always powerful when we see an unreached people group coming to Christ, accepting the gospel, and become new creation in Him. But let me ask you this question. If we somehow turn the clock back 20 years, if I was a young man at ACC in my 20s, and if I said at that time that I want to give my life to missions, how much encouragement would I get from you guys? How much encouragement would I get from the parents? In ACC, will we allow somebody young to actually do something like that? Guys, I'm not picking on you guys. This is true. This is a reality in a lot of Asian American churches. When I was pastoring a church in California, I remember one time a youth parent came up to me, and she said, "Wayne, our church is so lucky to have you. You speak Mandarin and you speak English, and then you're pouring your lives into our kids. I am so proud of you. I'm so happy that our church took you on as our pastor." And as I was standing there, honestly, I mean, those were very kind words. I was very young. I made a lot of mistakes. She was beyond kind. But you know what? As I was standing there, I felt no joy in my heart. You know why? Because I knew this family. I knew that she will never allow her son to go into full-time ministry. She will never allow her son to serve God full time. She had the American dream all laid out for her children. Get into a good school, get into a good job, and then just simply keep on going to church. And that was the plan she had for her kids. She will never allow her kids to do what I did. So her compliments to me, as flattering as they were, man, it brought me no joy. It brought me no joy. So I think the challenge for Asian American churches, for Chinese churches, is not just to give or to pray or to go. I'm sure there are a lot of parents sitting behind the computer screen right now. There are a lot of grandparents. And I want to challenge you guys with this question. If your kids end up doing what I did, responding to God's call to obey the Great Commission, would He get encouragement from you? Would you release them to do what God has commanded us to do? We not only have to go, we not only have to pray, we not only have to give. I think for Asian American churches, we have to release our next generation to follow Jesus, wherever that may take them. Guys, don't worry, not everybody's going to go to Africa, not everybody's going to go to Papua New Guinea. But we have this, as immigrants, we have this stronghold of pursuing the American dream. We want our kids to just get a good school, a good job, and somehow don't do anything bad morally. And still we expect them to, you know, just keep on coming to church. And that's the bar. That's the high end of the bar. But guys, the Bible set the bar so much higher. God wants us to give our lives completely to Him. There is a specific commandment in the Bible. Jesus says, go and take my story to the nations. How many young people, how many people in the youth group today, how many people in the young adult group, group today, how many people in the middle school group today, 5, 10, 15 years later, will we allow them to be Jesus' beautiful feet and have them support them, encourage them to take the gospel to the nations? In Luke 17:33, this is what Jesus says, whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life will preserve it. Guys, I've spoken at a lot of Chinese churches in America. I pastored one myself before. A lot of times, this immigrant mentality is what makes living out missions or responding to missions extremely difficult for churches like ours, for Asian American churches. Because a lot of times, the very core of our identity, we are still immigrants. We think we're still immigrants. And guys, what is the primary goal of an immigrant? We left the old country to come to a new country to settle, to build a new life, to build a better life. We didn't leave our old place. We didn't leave our old country. Or your parents or your great parents did not leave the old country to come to America so that we could go again. This immigrant mentality keeps pulling us to stay in America, or to just, you know, follow the status quo, to chase the American dream. But the Bible says whoever wants to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. Will preserve it. Guys, my parents were very much the same. I'm a fourth generation Christian. I'm a fourth generation Christian. I immigrated to Canada when I was 14. I remember vividly, my family was from Taiwan. That's where my parents live right now. And when I was in college, I would, you know, every summer I would go back to Taiwan to visit my parents. And we live in a small town in Taiwan. My dad is a dentist. His dream for me always, since I was a childhood, was always to be a missionary. No, I'm kidding. He never wanted me to be a missionary. My dad is a doctor, he's a dentist, so he always wanted me to be a doctor. And so in college, I would come back, and in Taiwan, we live in a small town. And I remember on the Sunday, summer morning, I slept in, and I was woken up by firecrackers going off outside, popping off outside. So, you know, I jumped up from my sleep. I went outside to find out what happened. And it just so happened that our neighbor was also a doctor. Now, he was not a believer, you know, but he was a doctor. And he was setting off firecrackers because his first child, his firstborn son, got into a medical school. So they had firecrackers popping off. The next summer, I went back to Taiwan. I slept in again in the summer. And then one day, firecrackers woke me up again. It was popping off outside. I went outside. What's going on? Well, his second son, the neighbor's second son, also got into medical school. So there was firecrackers popping off. You know what, guys? When I told my parents that I wanted to go to seminary, when I told my parents I wanted to give my life to the church, were there any firecrackers popping off? No, absolutely not. It was dead silence. We struggled with that. Our family struggled with that decision for quite a long time. My family did not immigrate to Canada and later to America just so that I could go somewhere else. The plan was always to build a good life in North America and just settle and be a good Christian. But when I told my dad that I wanted to be a full-time pastor, No, there was no celebration. But you know what, guys? Our firecrackers, our celebration, our tap on the shoulder, you good and faithful servant, that's in heaven. We will get our firecrackers one day. Not on this side of heaven, But still, we don't live for this world. We don't live for the next 50, 60, 70 years. In order to become missional people, in order to finish the Great Commission, that ultimate reality, that ultimate worship, what's waiting for us on the other side of heaven, our ultimate home, should be our singular focus. In Acts 20:24, we see Paul says here, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." Can you guys see Paul's singular aim in his life is not to pursue his own dreams, is not to pursue his own plans. His singular dream is to finish what God has entrusted to him. We talked about on Friday, God has entrusted to us the ministry of reconciliation. We read today that Jesus has directly commanded us to go and take my gospel, take my story, take the cross, the message of the cross and the empty tomb to those who have never heard. And Jesus' promise to us is this, that he will be with us always to the very end of age. Missions is a necessity. Missions is the primary function of the local church. But the topic of missions probes into the deepest corner of our hearts. It examines what we value. It examines our dreams and aspirations. It challenges our immigrant mentality. It challenges what we are actually pursuing. Guys, I'm not saying every follower of Jesus ought to be a missionary, not at all. But every one of us need to be connected to God's heart for the nations. We have one job to do, that is to finish our race as the ambassador of Jesus Christ and take the message to the nations. Again, at the end of Revelation 7, we see this awesome worship where every people groups, every language, every tribe gather together to worship God. My prayer is that God will challenge your hearts this weekend to move your life toward missions. Some of us need to start thinking about going. Some of us need to start thinking about giving more. Some of us need to start thinking about praying for missionaries laboring on the front line. But most importantly, some of us need to start releasing our children, our grandchildren, and be the support for them. Be their cheerleader just so that they could let go of the American dream and fearlessly follow Jesus' call to take the gospel to the nations. Jesus has promised that he will be with us forever from now until the end of the age. We have one life here to live. It could be 50 years, it could be 60, 80 years. Let's get rid of that immigrant mentality that we are here to stay. Guys, we're not the here to stay people. We're the to go people. And my prayer is that we will all use our lives wisely and use it faithfully. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for giving your son Jesus to us. And Father, we thank you that we are a people with a message to tell. Thank you for entrusting us with the ministry of reconciliation. Thank you for reconciling us to you first because of the free and gracious gospel. And Father, I want to pray for everybody here, my brothers and sisters at ACC, and pray for myself that we will use our lives here wisely. I ask that you will open our eyes to see what's eternal and what's temporal. You open our eyes to see what's of the kingdom and what's of this world. And I pray that we will all be that good and faithful servant. Father, we want to give you the glory. We look forward to that day where we will stand with the nations to worship you together. We thank you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.